Next year, Dr. Stephen Rosales will join the faculty at the University of Arkansas's History Department. His areas of expertise include U.S. borderlands, oral history, gender sexuality, and Chicano history. Recently, he came to what will be his new campus to deliver a guest lecture, and during that visit, he came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. I asked him about his interest in oral history.
I love the way oral history is able to capture individual stories and bring them out with greater detail, greater efficacy, places the individual within center stage of history itself. And we can certainly privilege archives and documentation, and well, we should. I'm not saying we shouldn't. But you like to see a human face to the particular historical moment you happen to be investigating, talking about, you know, whatever the case might be. And in the end, history is about individuals and individual actions and hopes and dreams and desires. And so oral history is a powerful methodology that I do use to bring out the issues that I'm trying to get across, sure, as an historian, very much so.
I guess the one thing with oral history, if you ask me about growing up in North Central Arkansas, I can tell you what I remember. But sometimes I question whether I remember correctly.
Memory is a key issue, sure. Veteran, and memory's a funny, tricky thing. It's individual-based. It's also generational. And in the case of my work, right, I deal with Mexican-American veterans of the last maybe 15, 20 years, right, this notion of the greatest generation. Undoubtedly, it's influenced many a veteran who lived through that time period to maybe have a more positive depiction of the time period. And maybe suppress something that might be construed as something more negative. But what you try to do then is get a cross-section of individuals, right? And so you, if anything, numbers. And that logistically can be a bit of a nightmare, and it's painstaking, it's slow, it's methodical. Finding the interviewees, conducting the interview, and what I wouldn't wish on anyone, right, transcribing the interview at the very end of the process. But what you do is see what stands out, right? You look at themes, currents, et cetera, and what stands out, what doesn't, and it should, in the end, give you a bit of a panorama from there to begin your work.
Conducting oral history, receiving oral history from Mexican-Americans who fought in World War II, you have a time element here.
I do 1940, 1975. So,
okay,
World War II, Korea, Cold War, and then through Vietnam. And I'm trying to show, if anything, generational consistencies, but also generational change. This idea of martial citizenship. If you serve your country, you should earn your way in. That's pretty consistent towards the latter part of my time period in the 60s, right, an era of tremendous divisiveness. There's a greater willingness to critique those cherished attributes that first begin to emerge World War II and then solidify themselves in Korea Cold War. Yes, very much so.
That's good. That has to be very interesting work.
Sure. I love it myself. What I should also mention, it's a personal story for me. I am a veteran myself. This past June was 24 years, naval service. So both active duty and reservist. So I'm driven to a very powerful extent by my own experiences in the military, in the Navy. So,
as a historian, you also, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I would imagine you feel a huge sense of responsibility.
Oh, my. We live in some troubling times in regards to issues of immigration, say, ethnic studies. HB 20, I forget there's a certain bill in Arizona, for example, right, that is banning ethnic studies. That is banning the teaching of ethnic studies if you're receiving state funds from the state government of Arizona. 2281, I believe. And so where the epicenter of this conflict seems to be in Tucson, which is within 100 miles of the border, and where, say, Chicano Latino studies is taught, and the history of people of Mexican ancestry is taught, and that's now outlawed to the extent you can teach it, you just won't be receiving state funds.
And what would be the logic behind that?
Oh, who knows? Yeah. Jeez. A bit of a backlash, right? One in three in Arizona is of some sort of Latino ancestry. One in six across the nation, right? If people haven't noticed, this sort of Latino tidal wave has been rapidly appearing and growing. I would argue perhaps some sort of, backlash, fear certainly has a role to play in how Latinos are being viewed. And it's a changing of the guard, if you will, right? It's not 1789 anymore. It's a new massive migration that isn't coming through Ellis Island. It's from south to north. And that sets off alarm bells. And that worries folks, and issues of language, culture, all of the above, sure.
But wouldn't studies of a culture's history provide more understanding?
History matters to both sides, right? Certainly matters to those who want to embrace their history and then become empowered through that process. But it matters for those who want to maintain the status quo, right? You want to control history because history is the key to the present and certainly the future. And for those in positions of power in Arizona who are trying to ban the study of the teaching of ethnic studies, you want to control history. And in an effort to do so, you certainly try to rein in this exploding population that is rapidly emerging in Arizona, sure.
Can work as a historian ever be frustrating?
Oh, sure, I suppose. It can depend on demographics. Teaching out in California, where I originate from, can be a bit different, say, teaching in Michigan, which I have no doubt will then be a little bit different from teaching in Arkansas once I arrive here next year.
You will be on the faculty next year, right?
Yes, it's a different demographic. And I teach U.S. history with a bit of a different spin, one that emphasizes diversity, one that utilizes books that embrace an ethnic studies approach. And you don't necessarily get that from students face-to-face, any sort of criticism or backlash, although you can, and I have. You get it in your student evaluations, if anything, right? The famous one that I'll never forget, he's a liberal and he should go where all liberals should go. He should go to hell.
Well, at least it wasn't someone mincing words. I mean,
it is what it is, yeah. Sure. But that's not going to deter me, certainly, from my approach at all, which is to give students a basic background to a broader history than perhaps they might have been taught, say, K-12.
I can't speak for students who've come through the Arkansas Public School District for the school districts for the last few decades. But when I was going through public school, I learned nothing about history that involved Latin America, Mexico, any subject like that. If that's the case, do you see that as kind of a blank canvas, that if someone is hearing history that they've never heard before when they get to a class?
Sure. To your previous question, can it be frustrating, but can it also be maybe not a burden, but can it be a powerful responsibility? Sure. If you're coming to a part of the country that perhaps, or any part of the country that hasn't historically had a diverse approach, especially in regards to, say, Latinos, and then you arrive and you are bringing that very thing, you need to sometimes take a deep breath and just exhale and just say, whoa, because your responsibility is a very powerful one, sure. And you don't want to rock the boat too much, per se. You don't want to burn bridges, yet you don't want to lose your, for lack of a better word, aggressiveness either. And so you have to find a balance, a proper balance, where you can get the information across, do it as delicately as possible, and hope that it sticks with students and that they embrace the subject matter, sure.
Finally, you grew up, went to college in California, now in Michigan. Next year you'll be in Arkansas. Do you do something to prepare for a move when you're moving from one part of the country? I mean, you're a historian. Do you try to find out more about the new home?
You do your homework, sure. To be quite honest, being in the service myself kind of prepped me for not only the physical move but the cultural shock. Military was two very powerful things for me. One, a very, very powerful cultural shock. Never seen so many white and black folk ever, coming from the environment that I came from, in a very inner city community. But that opened horizons for me. So going to Michigan, coming to an Arkansas, I've been prepped for it a little bit. I was a huge masculine shock as well, too, raised by a single mother. And in dealing, who tried her best, but then moving into the military where you have a more crude display of masculinity, it was a bit of a shock as well, too. And so in terms of being on some sort of journey, I've been prepped a little bit. So it's not as hard, I think, in comparison to, say, someone maybe who hasn't had that same journey that I have.
Well, thank you for your time. And in advance, welcome to Northwest Arkansas.
Thank you so much. I look forward to arriving next year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Stephen Rosales currently teaches at Grand Valley State University in Michigan, but next fall will join the University of Arkansas History Department faculty as an assistant professor of U.S. history. He spoke with me during a recent visit to the UA campus.